right now on VFN TV, imagine this being said. Okay, they're going to come kill us. Who's going to go first? That's what happened to Christians in Afghanistan. And we'll be talking about the persecuted church and what they did and how they felt closer to God, even in a time of persecution. We're going to be talking about Emmaus Road, about discipleship, and what does that mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And God is just. Why did Israel say that when great persecution was coming in? And what did God do during that time? We can learn from those that have gone before us. And finally, we're going to hear Clayton's story. What happened with young Clayton today, right now, on VFN TV?
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, "Does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos."
Terrifying storms blasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is we've been infiltrated.
What do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county by county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about a million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in Southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you're going right to change.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee. It's time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics,
abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've dal received movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo
We, voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
Per non aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Could you imagine you've been arrested by the Taliban? They're taking you and putting you in a particular hideaway place in their jail, if you would. And they're telling you, we're going to come and kill you. And you're having a conversation is, who's going to be the first one to die? It's very interesting, one of the conversations that's being had here, because Francis Chan is interviewing or talking with someone that had that very same experience. We were familiar with that case when they got arrested, but we didn't know the conversation that was going on. Let's take a look at it. Think about this now. The persecution was coming against Christians, but realize what they said when they got back after the time of persecution. They went back into their countries, and they found out, you know what? I was closer to God when I was going through difficult times. I was closer to God when my life was being threatened. They're actually wanting to go back to potentially to a place of persecution. Let's go check it out.
That fellowship, you know, I think, man, you got to be so close. And it's interesting because I was reading a missionary, you know, book by this missionary, and he was talking about this one time when people were shooting arrows into his hut, and he, you know, he had just already gone through so much, but now it was just unbearable pain, and he finally just, he was like, I can't take it anymore. He goes, he felt like right then, it's like he saw the cross before him, and he like experienced Jesus in this hut like he had never experienced before, and I thought, wow, that's so cool. Oh, that's so amazing. And here's another one. I when I was in Seoul, Korea last year, I got to have dinner with one of the guys. Remember the missionaries from Korea that were abducted in Afghanistan? And they were killing them one by one. I forget how many. I think it was like 23 of them. And I had to have dinner with one of the guys. You know, it was just he and I having this conversation. And a translator, because I'm like, what does that mean? You know, he's telling me about it, and he's telling me the experience, and, you know, I mean, imagine being arrested by the Taliban, and then they're going to start killing you one by one. And these 23, the last day they were together, because then they split them up in groups of three and took them to remote places. The last day they were together, one of the gals still had a Bible on her. They confiscated everything, but somehow he said one of them still had scripture. And so she ripped it into 23 pieces and they just passed it to one another so they could each just have a little scripture once they're separated. And you know, whenever you got a free moment, look at a scripture and get yourself encouraged. And he talked about how all 23 of them, man, one at a time, they just went around in a circle, surrendering their lives to Jesus, going, you know what, Jesus, whatever brings you most honor, my life is yours, my life is yours. If it brings you more glory that you kill me, kill me. If it brings you more honor that I live, I live. And all of them just surrendered their lives to Jesus. And he was just describing that circle. And then the senior pastor looked at us and he says, the Taliban are going to start killing us. And I've already told them that I die first, because I am the pastor. And this guy I was having dinner with said, no. He goes, I die first. I am a pastor too, and I am your elder. I die first. And he says, then the other guy says, no. You are not ordained. It's a true story. He goes, you are not ordained. I am the ordained senior pastor. I die first. And sure enough, that guy died first. And I'm just listening going, dang, that's New Testament to me. That's it. You know, and they killed another guy. And somehow they got, I still don't know the whole, there's something fishy going on there. But they got released after they just killed a few of them. And they came back. But here's what this guy was telling me. I mean, it was just an honor to be at a dinner table with this guy where you go, okay, this, you fit in with the book of Acts. Not the guy that broke his string on his guitar, but you fit in. You know, like you're right there. That's congruent with Scripture. And you're just sitting there going, man. But here's what he said. He goes, a strange thing is now that we've been back to Seoul for like a year or so, he goes, I've had all the people that were on that trip. It seems like one by one, they come up to me and they go, Pastor, don't you wish we were still there? I mean, they were all in remote places, you know, in these pits guarded by the Taliban, not knowing if they were going to die, not knowing if that was a day they were going to suffer, be tortured, whatever. And they're telling him that this is what they'd say. He says, they come up to him and they go, Pastor, don't you wish you were still there? They said, I was so close to Jesus in that hole, in that cellar. I was so close, so intimate with Jesus every minute. And I come back here and I try to get it back. I've tried to pray. I've tried to fast. It's just not the same. I can't have it. I wish I was back there because I was so close to him. See, these are people that love Jesus. And I said, it was only during that time of suffering that I had this sweet fellowship with him.
So you think about that. You know, when you make Jesus Christ, God, the creator of the universe, loves you so much that he gave his son so he could be in relationship for you. You see, we could not actually live this life out without making a mistake or making a sin. It's just, we always were fallen people since the Garden of Eden. But God loves us so much that he gave his son that Jesus would walk on the face of this earth, walk as we were supposed to walk, walk a sinless life so that the law could be fulfilled in him. And then he paid the price for our sin by him being offered up on a cross as a sin sacrifice. That's why he died on the cross. That's why we tell time by when Jesus was on the cross. And then 3 days after being dead in the grave, God raised him from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Listen, God loves you. It's about intimacy with God. And what he's saying here is just like, we were closer to the one that loves us when we were in persecution. But when we came back to this luxurious life and everybody just, you know, watching television, doing all they want to do in their flesh, it's like we're losing that. We're trying to get it back, but we can't get it back. How about, is that you? Do you remember a time when God was moving in your life and you could hear the voice of God and you could hear feel the gentle promptings of Jesus Christ in your life and his spirit? This is what we're called to live in that place. But so many things, and especially religion, wars against that. But one way to start that is begin to say, you know what? I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to begin to walk down Emmaus Road. I want to begin to walk down this road with Jesus. That's the road that Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he got on this road, and the road was going to Emmaus, and he was talking to his disciples. They couldn't tell it was him yet because he had their eyes just couldn't see yet in regards to who he really was. And he began to talk to them about who he was in the Scriptures, the Bible, and their hearts burned inside of them. It's about an intimate relationship with God. And it's been turned into religion, it's been turned into politics, it's been turned into all kinds of things. But what you were born for is intimacy with God. You were born for that. That's why they were willing to go back to a place of persecution. That's when you feel the most real, is when you're in the presence of God and you're speaking to God. There's nothing like it. And there's nothing worse than a religious spirit just tingling on and making all these noises. And it's like, why even do that? Well, Emmaus Road, we actually have an Emmaus Road for you that you could begin to walk down. Because he says, those who actually know my teachings and follow my teachings are disciples, Jesus said. And it's a very simple thing to do. I mean, you can choose the path that you want to be able to take. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, go to Hello Church. You see it right there. It says Emmaus Road. Click on that.
Maestro Discipleship, and you can decide which way you want to go until you can become a disciple today. I believe persecution is here and it's coming, and it's important to understand why you're being persecuted, and it's important to stay faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. And God wants you to know His voice. He says, "My sheep know my voice and follow none other." He wants you to abide with Him. He says, apart from abiding with Him, we can't accomplish this. We can't live this life. We can't be the husband we're supposed to be, or the wife we're supposed to be, or the parents we're supposed to be, or the children we're supposed to be, or the pastor, or the business owner, or the political leader. God empowers us to be able to do that through an abiding experience with Him. You know what? We even have an abiding plan for you. A lot of people want to abide with Jesus, because He said, apart from abiding in me, you can't accomplish anything, but if you abide with me, you'll be fruitful. We have an abiding plan for you. It's a simple one, and you can find it right now at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. You go there, request the plan. It'll come to you in your email, and you can begin to abide with the Lord today. Be His disciple and abide with Him. Follow His teachings, know His teachings, and hang out with Him. There's nothing like it. They were willing to go through persecution for that. When we get back from this break, I'm going to talk to you about the justice of God, because we're about to experience that. And at the one time you think you wouldn't say this as a person who loves the Lord is the time that they said it. And when they said these key words, God, although things continue to happen, God forgave them. And what they said was, God is just, even in the midst of calamity. Make sure you join us after the break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talked to her and she said, "I just left Seattle." And she said, "I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor." She said, "I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time." I said, "Yeah, I know that." She said, "I just left a meeting in Seattle." And she said, "Dr. Cho was the speaker." And she said, "I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him," he said, "I'm about to pour out my spirit in America." And he said, "Well, Lord," I said, "are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything's just going haywire. Are you through with America?" And God said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm not through with America." He said, "I'm about to pour out my spirit there." He said, "As a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case." And he got his atlas out, opened it up, and the Lord said, "Point," and it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Joe and said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful." And he said, "Then it will go over to the Mississippi River, and it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast, down through the west and the southwest, and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God."
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well.
And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I mean, you would think, when do you hear the things about, God is just? That's a scary thing. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to say, let your justice come down like a mighty waterfall. And the justice, you're hearing about people, justice movements, and you're hearing people talk about justice and justice. God's a just God. So true justice lines right up with God. He's a just God. But what a lot of people are calling justice is not justice at all. Taking your child in the womb and in their life, that's not just. And many other things that people are talking about, a justice movement. But, but taking another life for the life you just took in the womb, that's justice.
That's just. That's balance.
Yeah, and that's why I go, God, forgive me. Yeah. God, that I've sinned. Well, Israel, Judah, Israel already... tell you a little story about history here, and I believe this time is coming and probably has now come to America. And it's written in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and he's verse 2 there through 8. And the God's people, we're not talking about the other people on the face of the earth and the people that are worshiping all these shrines and false gods. And all. We're talking about the people who once walked with God, who knew what was right. They left God. They turned their backs on God. They didn't want to. 80%, 81% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bible.
Today,
according to George Barna, which means that's leaving what God says. Yeah. And you think about this, and so God comes, it gets to a point where our cup is full, and God says, okay, if this is what's going on, he says, in verse 2, he says, because they have been unfaithful to the Lord, this is a prophetic word coming, that King Shishak of Egypt, in other words, the leader of Egypt, was going to attack Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam's leadership. Mm. So he's saying, listen, because you've been unfaithful to God, God is going to allow a human being, another country, a general, a tyrant, a
dictator.
ISIS, an ISIS leader, or whatever. Just God is going to allow that person to come in and attack you. And for some reason, we don't see that grid today. Today, we don't see the grid that this could be happening to me because I have been unfaithful to God. It's not all the time the answer, but right now in America, if we're not even picking up our Bible, how will we even know if we're being unfaithful to God? And so with that, you're thinking, all of a sudden, God is going to deal with his people by allowing other people that are not his people to come in and oppress you, to put high taxes on you, to begin to put you in servitude, to begin to take your sons and put them and daughters and put them in their military to fight for their causes. That's the kind of stuff he's talking about. And so he's like, the people were like really distressed over this. And he goes on to say, he says, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I will abandon you to your enemy. Think about that. He said, because you've abandoned me, I will abandon you. You're into this particular, Shishak's out here and he's making all these threats and whatever. He's king of Egypt at that day. And all of a sudden you find out this guy never had any power before. Why does he have power now? He never had the ability to take over America before. Why does he have the ability to take over America now? And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying this is what's happening here. And it's because God decided, because if we abandon God, God will abandon us, but not just leave us so we can actually sin more. We'll have tyrannical leadership over us. And right now we're seeing tyrants galore out there ready to move into this place. God has been telling us, I'm fastening a storm. If the watchman gets on the wall and warns everybody about the storm and they respond, I'll stop the storm. But, you know, Shishak, our proverbial Shishak, they're all lined up. There's more. It's going to be horrific if we don't turn back to God, but it's going to be great if we do. And I'm not talking about holistically as a country, the church just turning back. He says, if my people turn back to me, and he says, because you've abandoned me, I'm going to abandon you to Shishak, the king of Egypt. And so the leaders begin to hear what's going on. They're going, now we understand we've sinned. They're responding. They say, listen. And they humbled themselves, which means total dependency on God and respect for other people. No longer they're trying to push to get their way and have 10,000 word discussions about things instead of saying, I was wrong. And then this is what they said. Of all the things they could say, they said, the Lord is just. They didn't say, if you get me out of this, God, if you prevent Shishak from coming and taking us over, you know, then I'll go to church. Then I'll read my Bible. Then I'll abide with you. Then I'll say you're just. No, even in the midst of great consequences, when they said, we're going to turn you over to Shishak. We're going to turn you over to the king of Egypt. We're going to turn you over to people who want to oppress you. And believe me, they're lined up right now wanting to oppress, you know, America. And definitely the church in America and Israel. And so the leader said, the Lord is just. And what I think about the prophetic word I gave on VFN TV, that there was three important leaders of Israel that mean a thousand different things, but one of them was Josiah. Josiah was a young man who became king. It took a while for him to find out and get access to the word of God, but once he got to the word of God, he found out the sin that they were in, and he repented and brought the nation in repentance, and God did not bring judgment because he was going to bring, just like he's saying right here to Egypt, he was going to bring to Israel, he was going to bring judgment to Israel then, and God stopped it. He stopped it because he cried out to God, but not only did he cry out to God and knew that God was just, but he began to repent and got everybody else to repent. This is important. Demons believe that God exists and they tremble. Do you tremble? Do you have a fear of God in your life? It's not about just believing that he exists. It's making him the Lord of our life. And so God tells Josiah, listen, it's not going to come. We're not going to turn you over, Israel over, in your reign while you're alive, but it will definitely be turned over. It's going to be turned over to your son's reign. Long story short, and it's interesting too, it was the king of Egypt that took him out. And then all of a sudden, one son of Josiah gets in leadership. He lasts for 90 days. And then Egypt itself appoints one of Josiah's sons to be king over God's people. You don't think God could put a tyrant over America? You don't think God could put a tyrant that oppresses the church? What have we been doing? What have we been doing as a church? How hard is it to get 81% of the church to pick up their Bible and actually honor it and to love it, to listen to what God's saying, to do what he says in view of his mercy? And so they put his son in place, and they changed his name to Jehoiakim. This was orchestrated by God. Although Egypt is the one that did it, God turned them over to Egypt. And they changed his name to Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim means God set man. That's what it means, God set man. You have all these people. I've talked to people. They were terrified about what was about to happen to America. Now they have some political candidates they have faith in, and all of a sudden they have no fear anymore because they're thinking this man or woman is going to pull us out of this. And it's like, no, we're not at that point. This is a point where we have to repent. We have to repent at this particular point. And so God puts a person, allows a person to be put there by Egypt, and his name got changed to God set man. That's what Jehoiakim means, God set man. What did he do? He actually spent all their money, overtaxed them, put them under great pressure. You are a slave to the lender. If you have 100% tax, you're a slave. In other words, everything that you earn, you pay it to the government. That's called slavery. You might be a well-treated slave, but if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to be a not well-treated prisoner. That's what that is. And so they had a chance under that oppression. They had a chance to call out like Israel did here and say, Lord, you are just. This is exactly what we deserve. We're not going to blame Jehoiakim. We're not going to blame Washington, D.C. We're not going to blame a political party. We're not going to blame a man. We're going to blame a woman. We're going to say, this is our sin. We're here because what we did. It's my sin. God, forgive me. Lord, you are just in what you're doing. And when they said that you are just, God shifted things. But you know what comes after just? I mean, you know what comes after Jehoiakim, which is God's set man, is Zedekiah, which was the uncle, I believe, of Jehoiakim, which Egypt named him Zedekiah, and his name means God is just. If we don't deal with ourselves, we don't come to him, and I'm just hoping that we will, then all of a sudden we'll be turned over to like a Shishak. We'll be turned over to some tyrant somewhere. And you can't say you did something because most people are doing nothing. They don't. 95% of the church, according to George Barna, Christians in America will not lead one person, not one person to Jesus Christ, not one. That just shouts like, my goodness, you lead one person to the Lord, you're in the top 5th percentile of the evangelism thrust of the church. But while we're spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, $1.3 million to get that man in that water when you could have dumped him in a pond somewhere and given that money to others and have a television station in your community instead of giving the media over to the darkness. God is just. You think this last 7 years has been tough, this 8 years have been tough? That's just Jehoiakim. Zedekiah is right on the precipice of coming to pass in this nation. But this is what they did. When they said, God, you're just, and they humbled themselves, he said, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, and he says, since they humbled themselves, I will not destroy them. Think about that. He stopped his plan. What does that mean? We have a pride issue. Who are we in the context of God? To say to the potter, why are you making things this way? Why did you make this way? He's God. You think about that. But they humbled themselves, and he says, since they humbled themselves, I will not destroy them. They were going to be destroyed. If Israel was going to be destroyed, don't think America can't be destroyed. He said, but they will soon be delivered. My wrath will not pour out on them, like I was planning on, through this particular Shishak, king of Egypt. But, however, they will become subject to him. In other words, he's going to be around. They will become subject to him so that they can learn the difference between serving me, which is God, and serving the kings of other lands. I believe what God has shown, we're going to go through some difficult times. It doesn't change who we are to God if we repent, but it could change our environment. It could change like who God's going to allow to be in leadership over us. We got to quit blaming the consequences of our sin on Washington, D.C. We got to quit blaming the consequences of our sin on the next generation. You own your own sin. It's you. If you have to own it, if you don't own it, you can't do anything with it. Well, I really believe, and this is the prophetic word the Lord gave me, is Zedekiah. What we're seeing right now is Jehoiakim. There's no way that one man could have done all the things that were done unless the Lord placed him in a place to be able to bring us quickly to a place we thought we would never see. Christians around the world are being surrounded. Jerusalem's being surrounded. The question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, Lord, you are just? You are just God, and humble ourselves? Or are we going to bow up and say, we need to get into this politics, and we need to do this, we need to do that. And you need to be active, yeah, as a citizen of America, but that's not the answer. The answer is God. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that just like Israel, we as the church can say, you know what, God? Forgive me, I've sinned. I see it now. I see what's going on. I've been watching the news nonstop and beheadings of priests on altars, and I'm watching shootings of police officers in the streets. I'm watching innocent citizens of my own country be shot. I'm seeing all these things go crazy. Like, you said you will turn us over to our enemy and they will harm us. We're seeing attacks. He said, I'll turn you over to Shishak and he will attack you. And so what are we seeing? We're seeing attacks. This is like the early warnings. This is nothing compared to what it will be if we don't. He said, because they humbled themselves, I won't pour out the wrath of Shishak, the wrath of what your tyrants really want to do to you. I will prevent that because you humbled yourself and you understand what I'm doing is just. It's what you, I told you not to do it. You continue to do it. I warned you. I had mercy for years, and you continued in this path. And now you're going to go through a time of discipline. You're going to learn the difference between serving me and serving kings of other lands. My prayer is like, dear God, help us repent. Help us to humble ourselves. So you're seeing all these news reports, and you've seen many on VFN TV. But understand, you know, why do we share those? We share those because that's what God wants us to do. But we want you to know these are attacks by people who want to harm human race, that wants to harm America, who wants to harm the church, who wants to harm Israel. And we can stop that by turning to God and saying, God, you are just. You are just. And no matter what happens, even if you throw me in the fire, I still will serve God because God is just. But even in the fire, he will even deliver me if he chooses to do so because he can. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. Well, listen, we have this great offer for you. We have this great offer for you, and we have young Clayton's story that we want to be able to share with you. But first, I want you to hear Jesus is more than just a Savior from Francis Chan. And I want you to hear about this offer for you, and we're going to go to break. And I want you to hear Clayton's story. It's going to touch your heart.
You really, 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 really like Jesus. But if you are honest with yourself, you don't really want to become like him. You admire his humility. We all do. But do you really want to be that humble? I mean, you think it's beautiful. I think we all think it's beautiful that the Son of God would get down on his knees and wash the feet of his disciples. We think that's beautiful, but is that really the goal of your life? And is your life headed in that direction of servanthood? You're thankful that Jesus was spit on and abused and that he took it, but you would never let that happen to you. You love the fact that he laid down his rights, but you're going to spend your life fighting for yours and defending yours. You praise him, you sing songs, and you love him because he loved you enough to suffer during his whole time on this earth for your sake. But you're going to make sure you have fun while you're down here and that you have a good time. In short, you think Jesus is a great Savior, but he's not a great role model. And I say that because a lot of times I'll give messages and it's about the character of Jesus Christ and the way we ought to follow that character. And it's met with this, hey, no, I can have this, I can have that. And I just got to stop and say, wait a second, is Jesus Christ your role model? Think this through. Is it the desire of your heart that you would be this servant and lay down your life for someone else? The crazy thing about all of this is that 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Let me read it again. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. It's not an optional thing. It's not this optional thing. Well, maybe I can be a Christian and admire everything about Jesus, but my life will look nothing like his. No, John says, no, whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to have Jesus in him, must walk as Jesus did.
Today's offer 2010 for your partnership of any amount, is learning how to hold fast to what God has promised you no matter what. A life of honor. Life has a tendency to throw us curveballs. When it seems things are going one way, they end up going another. When it comes to the Word of God, the Word God has spoken over us, the promises of God, it's important to learn how not to let these curveballs throw you off. In this message, you'll learn how important it is to notice the Lord working in your town. Honor him, God in that, the ministers in your town, and making a place for the Lord and his ministers in your heart and home. You will see the amazing goodness of God and how he returns in greater measure the blessing and the honor that you give him. And today, when so many people tied up in what's in it for me, we learn how to honor God and make room for him. He will take care of us in a greater way than we could ever imagine when we honor him. We'll also learn that if he said it, that settles it, and how to hold fast to the promises of God no matter what. In the natural, It may seem like it's over, but it's never over with God. Remember, Abraham, the father of faith, against all hope, in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. As children of faith, as believers, even us, against all odds, need to hold on to the promises of God and become everything God has set over us. Today's offer is offer 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you, no matter what, a life of honor. To become a partner, go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now, or write to us at VFNTV 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida 32505, or call us at 844-408-3688. Today's offer is 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you no matter what.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church.
I'm Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly, and we want you to mark your calendars now for September the 11th at 6 p.m. for United in Prayer.
We're excited about bringing our churches together, and we want to invite you to join us at the Pensacola Bay Center on 9/11. We need spiritual awakening in our community.
And this is the time to gather the church. September the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
With all of the activities and gifts, it's easy to lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. So how can you remind your children that Jesus is the reason for the season? Here's Pam McCune.
One of the ideas that we started incorporating when our kids was very young was something we called attribute ornaments to help them understand the truth about Jesus. You take some plastic Christmas balls and a paint pen, and you write all of the different attributes on these individual Christmas balls. We put them in a bowl beside the Christmas tree, and then during the holidays after dinner, we would take one ball out and we'd look at it and say, oh look, this is Jesus's forgiving. When have you ever been forgiven by Jesus, Chase? And then we hang it on the tree and we pray and we thank him. We come down Christmas morning and guess what? Our tree is now a tree of worship.
We've got some great ideas for your family this season. Ways to keep Christ as the centerpiece of Christmas. You'll find those at focusonthefamily.com.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
that's right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us.
Yeah.
So we can continue to be that trumpet. That
absolutely.
Call.
Absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That was so powerful. He says that we can learn from those that have gone before us how God responded to them, understanding that the Lord is the same yesterday, today,
and forever. Right.
So the only difference is we have mercy and grace if we seek Jesus Christ. But if we don't seek the Lord, if we don't humble ourselves before the Lord, the same thing that happened under the old covenant will happen under the new covenant.
Yeah.
Consequences. You know, God does two things with sin. He forgives it or he visits it. and I'd rather, you know, repent.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. And God forgives. I mean, this is who he is. You know, Peter was wondering when he was walking with Jesus, because he was watching, obviously, Jesus say, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Okay, yeah, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're healed, you're forgiven. Of course, coming from the religious background, Peter's going like, hold on a minute. How many times are you going to do this? Right? Seven? I mean, he's being generous, mm-hmm. right? Okay, we can take people. We can take people
I'm
in our
forgiving.
In our church gathering. We can take people in our church gathering that has, okay, they've messed up seven times. That's a big number. But after seven, you know, that can't,
to forgive
I can't fellowship after seven. I mean, come on. Like, oh, you're just new, huh?
yeah.
You know, and Jesus turned to him. He said, seven times 70. It was. He's adding it up. You passed it. No, but think about it. 7 times 70.
Yeah.
John, in 1 John, he tells us, listen, if you say that you're without sin, you're a liar. If anybody says that they haven't sinned, I remember I was meeting with somebody in my office years ago as I was pastoring a church, and somebody just came very religious, and they were trying to just religiousize somebody, right? And I was just talking to them. And what happened? Somebody just got born again.
Mm-hmm.
They just got born again, brand new in the Lord. And listen, the enemy comes in immediately trying to steal that soul. Immediately, religion comes in quite often. And this particular person shows up, and I'm talking to him in my office. And I forget who was with me in that particular meeting, but somebody's with me. And I finally looked at him because he was talking such, I'm like, oh, I've met the most righteous person on the face of the earth, I'm thinking, right? So I asked him this particular question because he was rapidly answering da-da-da-da, nonstop. I'm like, okay, right, okay. Have you ever sinned before? And he was just stopped.
Shocked.
Because when you admit that you're a sinner, you need a savior.
Yeah.
You can't lord yourself over someone and be self-righteous when you actually know you need a savior. And that's so important to understand that I don't even know why I got on that particular thing, but you have to understand that we're going to a time of being authentic in God, and that, you know, there's grace for us coming together. And it's not what I did as much as the fact is where I'm going, because God will forgive me.
God is just.
You know, such works. Oh, God is just.
Yes.
The justice of God. And so if the enemy convinces you that you got to be, you know, self-righteous, you've already sinned. That's pride. Mm-hmm. And that'll just build till God visits you. Or if somebody told you, you could sin all you want to, as long as you said a prayer at the altar back in 1812, you know, that it doesn't matter anymore. You can do anything. Mm. We're seeing right now, you can't. Look what's happening.
It reminds me of what happened with David. He said, you know, looking at the enemies were coming against him, he said, I would rather be found in the hand of God. I'd rather just allow God to do what he's going to do.
And thousands of people died after that. The consequences came in. Mm. And, you know, David's crying out to God saying, God, it was me. I sinned. Please don't hold this against the people. And God stopped it. He had the devouring angel, you know, stop, you know, what was going on. And somebody says, look at the old covenant. Look at the people dying today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holocaust happened under the new covenant. And so this is important to understand that God is just. That's why you run to the cross. That's when we fall at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I need you. Lord, I need you. You know, and I know that my day is going to come where I'm going to see God. I could die today, and I know where I'll be. Do you know where you'll be? I'm not worried about living 1,000 years because I'm going to live 1,000,000 years in eternity.
Mm.
But do you know how long you're going to live? I want you to hear Clayton's story. Because Clayton tells us specifically, young Clayton, let's hear what he has to say.
Life for a lot of people means a lot of different things. Life for some person can mean the usual, go to school, go to college, get a good job, get a good husband or wife, get a good family, get a good car, get a good home. Get a good everything, and then have a good memorial service. My name is Clayton McDonald. and I am at the end of my life. All you do is eat, sleep, play, and poop. You are one lucky dog. Hey, where are you guys going?
I'm taking Sam to school.
Do you think I can get a ride?
Yeah, hurry up.
If I died tonight, I would miss him so much. Right, bye, Sammy.
Bye, Sam. Bye, Sam.
Right, bye, Zach. I love you, man.
Hey, Clay.
Yeah.
Is everything good, man? You alright?
Yeah, I'm good.
I got the ray gun pretty early, which helped. And then I got like a Browning.
A shotgun?
No, the Browning heavy machine gun.
Oh. Oh my goodness. 2 weeks ago, 1 o'clock in the morning, and John just looks outside and he's just like, knocking on the door. And then the next thing we know, she knocks on the door and just
grab a knife. My name is Clay McDonald, and I'm here to share my story. I'm at 7 years old. They thought it was just the flu. And now, 12 years later, I've been diagnosed with leukemia for the fourth time, and the doctors can't do anything about it. So naturally, you get a lot of questions from something as severe as this, and one of the questions I get asked the most is, "Hey Clayton, are you scared?" Yeah, I'm scared, I'm terrified. But I'm not scared of cancer, because I've had it most of my life. I know what's gonna happen. And I'm not scared to die either, because I know where I'm going when I die. I'm scared for everybody else. I am scared for those who don't know where they're going when they die. I'm scared for those who might think they know where they're going when they die, but they really don't. And I'm especially scared for those of you who are distracted by this world. Distracted by school, distracted by sports, distracted by girlfriends, boyfriends, iPods, this or that, distracted by anything and everything Satan can throw in front of them. That is what I'm scared for. I have the luxury of knowing about when I'm gonna die, and you don't. See, I feel sorry for you. Because you don't know. So it's not hard for me to be thankful for everyday things.
It's not hard for me to be thankful for my family and friends when I know I might not see them again tomorrow.
It's not hard for me to be thankful for every breath that I have, because it was given to me by God.
He died the next day. Do you know when you're going to die? Did you know, like the shoppers in Germany, that ISIS was going to be there that day and that that would be the last thing that they bought because they would die? They would be laying on the sidewalk that they walked in on, with the sheet covering them. To the people who went to the nightclub in Orlando with a tragedy, did they know that if I'm, this is going to be the night, the night I'm dressing up to go to this club, that I'm going to see God tonight. Tonight I'm going to see him tonight. And did God even cross their mind? Did the officers that were getting ready in Dallas, did they know that they would be seeing God in a few moments, that this would be the moment that they would die? Do you know the moment? No man knows that moment. God knows that moment. The question is, are you prepared? You see, he said it's appointed once to die, Jesus said, then the judgment. We got to answer for this life. We have to answer for what we did or what we didn't do. We have to answer even for every idle word that we spoke. That's what makes you call out to Jesus. That's what makes us say, God, you are just. That's what makes us say, God, I need you. That's what causes Clayton to stand up a day before his life was to end and say, listen, my fear is for you. I'm comfortable. I'm confident where I'm going to go. Do you know where you're going to go? You can be confident today. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can say, Jesus, I want to know. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray for all of our audience. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for Clayton's testimony. We thank you, Lord God, for understanding, even in persecution, that we can draw close to you, God, that even in difficulty, when we're suffering consequences for our own sin, that we can cry out to you, humble ourselves, and know that you're just, and say that you're just, and that although it may be difficult, we may have a tough leadership for a season, that you are God in that season. Lord, I pray right now for each and every one that has not yet made you the Lord of their life, that they don't know where they would be going because they could be in a car wreck today. A storm could come. A plane could land on their house. An ISIS fighter could come somewhere. Anything could happen that life could end. We're so fragile. That you would touch their hearts and convict them and say, I am here. I love you. You have to decide today what you're going to do with your life. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, end this abortion. Send revival to the church and a great awakening to America, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read His Word, and you allow His Word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with Him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what He will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.